Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 78 of the Xbox Call of Gamers podcast. This week, I am back, and with me, I have our wonderful producer, Cameron.
I'm not so wonderful this week. I got the sneezes.
He's got the spicy cough.
Spicy cough.
And our wonderful new host that you all know and love, Mr. Shane Firehawk.
Yeah, at least the no part. I'm not sure about that other one, but sure.
Well, hey, look, I just assume if they're listening to the podcast, I mean, we must be doing something right.
That's fair.
As always, we're going to do the show. We're going to talk about some news, play some video game stuff. We've got a competition in there for the word challenge. You guys know how this works, but I mean, if you're starting on episode 78, what the fuck is wrong with you? But as always, you can come see the show live on Twitch. Xbox Hall of Gamers is a place to find us on Twitch. Come say hi, hang out in the chat, ask us some questions. We appreciate all of our watchers and listeners. But first,
I was gonna say it's funny because everybody that joins the Discord actually does tell us that they started episode one.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, right? That's how you get the lore. That's the only way you understand the memes. But to be fair, like 78 episodes is not that much.
Realistically, no.
No. But without any further ado, Cameron is going to transition us to a really easy song of the week, I hope.
Early in my playthrough, trying to find my feet, lighting up those neurons and I'll make our minds meet. Got to find the killer, two halves of a whole. Got to find the killer before he tears them all. I got a VR mode, and I can read their minds. And I can see all their dreams like a motherfucking spy.
I'm going to be 100% honest, I've got no idea.
All right, fair. That's fair. Shane, any thoughts?
Nope. Not even an idea.
Damn, I probably should have done more of it. I did the first verse and I was like, I thought about doing the second one, but the second one has like such a tone change to it that like I feel like it would be more distracting than helpful.
Okay.
Watch, that's the one that everyone knows. Like you play.
Yeah,
that
that's probably I really would like to get to the chorus. But it's What I Got by Sublime.
Oh nope.
Yeah, okay, fine. Not the audience. Totally fair. Totally fair. I'm hoping that some of our listeners will get it. If you guys are into ska, as it were. But no, it came up my playlist and I figured I'd do a song about it. All right. Well, let's get into our community question this week. So we had a question from our wonderful question writer extraordinaire, Mr. Logic Dad, Isaac himself. And he says, hey guys, is your gamer score so far this year better or worse than last year at this time? Thanks for the show. If I knew who was going to be on the show, I could look up your individual scores. Hopefully this should provide some good discussion material either way. Oh, thank you for the question, Isaac. It is some interesting food for thought, right? I mean, I don't know.
Have you looked at yours?
I haven't looked at mine, but I know it's worse.
So I went and looked mine because I knew mine was going to be much worse.
Mm.
So January 1st, 2022 to 16th of May, 2022.
Yeah.
First of the year was 687,661. And then 16th of May, I was on 829,816. So what's that? An odd 140,000, right?
Oh, sorry, I'm just looking at, 687 to 827. Okay, yeah, I see here. Yeah. Sorry, you've got 23 in there twice.
Sorry. Like this year's 896 to 928. So that's, over 30,000. A few things. April Achievement Challenge last year, yeah. I had 86,000 in that month alone.
Yeah, fair.
I didn't participate in the April Achievement Challenge this year because I didn't know if it's the Xbox cast. I just didn't really think it was worth my time. I've had much more, I guess, bigger priorities this year.
Sure.
I'm finding myself this year just going like, I'm playing games that I want to play a lot more, which is like, you know, obviously getting a small amount of score, but I'm really enjoying what I'm playing.
Hmm.
Which I think is like why Achievement Hunt in the first place. Like, obviously, like last year I had stuff like, oh, was last year Halo MCC? I think.
So the year before?
Maybe the year before, yeah.
It was the year before.
I don't know. Like last year, I was still in like the baby gamer kind of mode for some of this, like some of these months, and like this year, I've
You're just
just
still.
gone. This year, I've kind of just been like, just play whatever I want, whatever looks cool. Finding myself like more over time too, like playing Steam games as well. Just playing like whatever. Like I still enjoy achievement hunting, whether it be Xbox or Steam, but it's score isn't the biggest thing for me anymore.
Is this his resignation letter or what?
We'll get to 1 mil and then
For
we'll see.
personal reasons, I shall be passing away. I mean, Shane, you obviously have you're a super completionist. I don't know, have you found that
Yes.
you're, I guess this is a broader question, I guess, around like gaming habits, really, right? In terms of like, are you gaming more, are you gaming less, are you playing different games than you were a year ago? Like, how are you? You are the picture of consistency in terms of having, the longest streak I've ever seen on a human being. So I don't know.
Well, the funny thing is, I was just looking at it, and my life was a goddamn madhouse a year ago from today, and still is. But I was actually scoring more last year at this point. I think it was because I was kind of keeping it short because I was at the hospital a lot, so I had to keep it on the cloud and things I could kind of finish. But at the same time, I did Unsold. I did The Good Life. I had an easy week too. I haven't done one of those this year because those are getting spooky now with all the updates.
True.
Yeah, no, I actually looks like I'm not on point to reach last year's heights. The million probably slowed me down a little bit too, because I was being super careful with that. And yeah. So last year was actually a weirdly, really beneficial year for me. I got a lot of points last year, a lot of achievements, a lot of completions. We'll see how this year goes still. Playing new games like Redfall sure isn't helping matters, but
No, yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm in a similar position. I mean, last year I scored quite, I mean, I was kind of on, I was kind of in that race to 2 million. I'm just kind of looking at my milestones here. So I hit
oh, yeah, muscles are up.
1.86 in the 2nd of Jan last year. And then if we get up to 1.86, and then when I got to May, my sort of closest milestone in May was well, actually I say like end of April, I was at over 2 million, 2 million and 2 million and 50,000. So that's about 200,000 score, just about, maybe just a little bit less over that period. And I'm definitely not doing that now. Looking at where I was at the end of last year, I'd put another 100,000 on by the end of the year. And so I've done about, I'm about to, I've done probably done about 50,000 over the last 5 months, about 10,000 a month, which is kind of what I usually try to average. I didn't do the April Achievement Challenge either, just because I basically don't have, I don't know if I have it in me anymore.
That's a pain to do.
I just don't want to be fun baby games. Like,
I mean, like, I don't mind boosting the score a little bit, right? But I think, like to Shane's point, that the thing with title updates being added to every single game means that I'm booking myself in for a lot more than I realized for a lot of this stuff, right? Thankfully, like I when the baby game stuff started happening, I wasn't hugely invested in it. Like, I did it a little bit for some of the achievement stuff, but when the update started happening, I just didn't start any new ones for the most part. So I've got a few things to clean up, and I'll get a few title updates here and there. It's probably, maybe another 30,000 in there somewhere that I could probably get. But I've been on the same track, like I haven't been buying games all that often. I have bought a couple recently, but like very rarely, usually when they're on sale. I've been a lot pickier about what I've been playing. And it's basically been like backlog and stuff on Game Pass, especially the stuff that's leaving. We'll get into what I've been playing recently over the last couple
Well,
of weeks, but that's kind of a good example.
Game Pass is a good point because there's two ways you can look at it. There's the like I'll play games as soon as they come out because I enjoy them, I think they look cool, whatever kind of thing. And I reckon it makes good content for the podcast. And then on the other side of it, the Valor King at the end of the month, I guess it creates this sort of camaraderie. Like because everybody's doing it at the same time. It's like the unintentional book club, yeah? Of everybody discusses the game because everybody's like, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get my money's worth. I'm going to get it done before it leaves.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree, right?
It's kind of nice, too, because sometimes people are... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's kind of nice because I know a lot of us have people playing games that we want them to try because they're leaving and they're trying to Valak them. So that's always nice, too. It's like there people are getting forced to play a game that we thought was really good, like Paradise Killer for some of us and things like that. So that's kind of a nice touch, too, for the Valak game.
You said really good, and then you said Paradise Killer. And
wow. Okay, hang on a minute.
I just couldn't get into it.
Great.
I'm the same way, right? I've been banging that drum for ages when it comes to, because again, pretty much everything I play is Game Plus stuff that I find that I'm interested in that I want more people to try. And so, like to your point, Cameron, I think that when a game comes out, there's obviously a zeitgeist around it. I mean, if you look at Tears of the Kingdom right now for the Switch, right? That's all anyone is talking about because that's everyone's super excited to play it. It's just come out. It's been highly anticipated. It's getting really good reviews. But we typically don't play games when they come out for the most part, right? I mean, we may make an exception for things that come to Game Pass straight away, which is makes it a little bit easier, low barrier to entry. But yeah, having getting basically like reigniting that zeitgeist of having people like a community playing through a game, talking about it, encouraging other people, giving opinions on it. Like a lot of the stuff on Game Pass that you end up leaving are things that people like have never even looked at or thought about or even know is on there. And something's like the first time you hear about a game is, oh, it's leaving. And then someone pipes up in the community being like, oh, yeah, I did that. It took like, 25 to 30 hours. It's actually a lot easier. The ratio is inflated. It's actually not that difficult. Here's some good guides.
I'm usually like all across the Game Pass stuff because like I'll dip my toes in whenever, yeah?
Sure.
I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of this.
Umurangi Generations?
Yeah. So I just thought, like, I took one look at that and I was like, that's a JRPG. Like, that's something like Matt's Alley. It's probably not for me, right? Everybody starts completing and I see 1 to 2 hour completions and I'm like, wait, what is this game? And it's just essentially Paparazzi without the dogs that killer robots.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
And it's such a weird game, but it's like, all right, cool. I may as well get that done because everybody else is doing it. Whereas I would have, don't judge a book by its cover because it might actually be a 1 hour, 1 to 2 hour completion and not an 80 that you would have thought.
So like Umurangi is a great example of this because I knew it was a short game. I knew kind of the rough genre it was in, but I've had it installed for ages because it's like a 1 to 2 hour completion on Game Pass. I'm like, I really should get around to it, but I just never did. And this was the push to be like, okay, now's the time to do it. It's a relatively easy game. I mean, the main thing was that because I had to use a video guide for it, which I absolutely hate. I'm a written guide all the time kind of guy, but it's fine. You know, it's a short game. But yeah, like I think that like the things I've been playing, I bought like three different games recently, and I'm doing the thing where I'm actually playing them straight away. I'm not just chucking them into the backlog, and I picked them up because for the express purposes of wanting to play them. And I've started two of them already, and I've got the third one ready to go once I finish one of the other ones. I'm trying not to overload myself too much, but yeah, and I'll talk a little bit about that when we get to what I've been playing. But I've been a lot more deliberate in what I've been picking to buy and play. And Game Pass is a little bit looser because I'm like, well, there's not really, any kind of monetary investment that has to happen there. But it's given me access to good experience. I mean, like Pentiment is obviously the perfect example, right, of something that's like a weird, interesting game that wouldn't have even gotten made if it wasn't for Game Pass, from what I've heard from talks with like Matt Booty and other people.
So there's only like one, I'm going to go like left field here. Only downside for those kind of games is I really want Pentiment and that to still have physical releases. That's the only disadvantage to day one.
Here's the thing though, is that no one's going to buy Pentiment physically.
Have you been
to an EB Games lately, right? Like the amount of space dedicated to physical games is getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
And it's all about fucking pop vinyls and other useless shit.
It's like half the store's toys and games.
Yeah, exactly. And it's more like a 70-30 split at this point.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of wish with like games like Benevent and Hi-Fi Rush and all that, there was still some kind of physical media because like I still know people in Australia that they don't have access to, they don't have like proper internet to be able to do Game Pass. Like the town that I grew up in, for example, my brother owns an Xbox. He's basically got Forza 3, 4, and 5 installed, and then that's the extent of it. Because he wants to play Forza, but he's going to have to play like with basically very limited internet on like an ADSL connection.
It's the harsh reality of gaming these days, right? Is that high-speed internet is basically a requirement.
Yeah.
Because either for streaming or for downloading, I mean, even when you buy the game on disc, half the time, most of the game isn't on the disc. And this, again, this was the stuff that they were talking about in the Xbox One generation, and they were just too early for it because the infrastructure wasn't there for the rest of the world. And I think we're slowly catching up. I mean, I've never had any internet issues on my end, but that's because, you know, New Zealand internet's pretty good now, which is surprising. But there are different
enough.
You say it's surprising, and this it's just like kicking your toes into me.
Like, I mean, look, the big internet pipe or whatever the fuck, however it works, does start in Australia, right? It doesn't just appear out of nowhere. Like, there's a lot of undersea cable that has to happen.
A lot of tubes.
Yeah.
A series of tubes, exactly. It's not like a big truck.
That truck.
Oh, man. Can you remember the internet they named an achievement in Gears of War after that fucking quote? Anyway.
I thought the internet was a box. Like a black box.
Yeah, black box. Yep. It's like, don't turn it off. Don't unplug it. Don't Google it.
Be careful with the internet.
IT Crowd is such a great show.
I miss IT Crowd.
But
I hope that answers your question, Isaac.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like it's an interesting discussion to kind of how gaming has kind of differed over the years and kind of what we're doing and what we're playing. I think this week's a good example.
For me, it's always funny. It's always funny because I can say, like, so we're talking like year to year, but I actually play games more now since I've had a kid. I've always thought it was funny. Just talking about gaming habits, like I know a lot of people, you know, they buckle down and have their kid, and I actually got an Xbox because I had a kid so I could play more. So go figure.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that trend continues.
Yeah.
I mean, she's getting older and she's going to move out hopefully soon. So like.
So great. It's like, it's even more like more space, more time. Like, great.
You know what?
I keep thinking, like, I really hope I'm still achievement hunting when I retire. I got all the time in the world. It'd be really nice.
I wonder if you get to a point, like, I could see myself in the future, like, still having a connection through my kids by playing online with them.
Yeah, and just beating their ass in Halo 76 or whatever.
Yeah, Halo 76. Exactly.
They'll still be playing Fortnite, thank you, and Minecraft.
It'll be Fortnite Season 5, but yeah.
We'll be like in the 20th generation of consoles, and it'll be like Halo, Fortnite, Roblox, Minecraft. The exact same stuff.
Rec Room here and there too. I mean,
actually, that's an interesting discussion in itself. How we didn't really talk that much about the Phil Spencer stuff, but I went back and watched that interview with Kind of Funny and him talking about like Xbox One was the worst generation to lose because everybody has the digital library now. And then it's so like it's not a console reset. It's you have to like you're basically abandoning your digital library if you swap consoles and that now.
I mean that's been the goal of every digital provider ever, right? I mean it's the same reason Apple got you to buy Apple Music stuff is because they want you in the ecosystem. The ecosystem is the moneymaker, right? Mm-hmm. Everything else is entry points into that. And I think the summary of that is that like. Sony have got the long play. They've made sure they put out enough high profile releases to keep people interested and to get new people in. Whereas Microsoft are like, let's try and get people in from all other areas into the ecosystem at a low price point as possible with Game Pass with the Series S.
It makes me wonder like why Netflix doesn't do like a digital library system where you can buy stuff if it's
don't
leaving.
Give them ideas.
Yeah, there's licensing is the biggest problem in that one.
I would imagine. Yeah. But I thought it was just an interesting discussion. And then, obviously, like you've got games like GTA lasting whole console generations. You've got Roblox.
Oh, that's right. They'll be playing Fortnite and GTA 5 still in 60 years. That's right.
Yeah. And Elder Scrolls 6, maybe.
They'll still be top for some reason. Maybe. It'll be coming out in a couple
more
years.
Maybe. Anyway. Oh, dear. Thank you for the question, Isaac. Always great for generating discussion. We'll look out for your next question in the next week or two. All right, let's get into the news. We don't have a huge amount this week. It's actually been relatively quiet since all the sort of CMA and Xbox stuff last week. I'll just say this one quickly. So Amnesia the Bunker has been delayed again for the third time. It's been delayed into June due to unforeseen circumstances. They don't really elaborate on that. I am actually quite looking forward to this game. It's coming to Game Pass, so I've enjoyed the other three.
I keep seeing every other site saying May 23rd.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, well, I guess we'll see. Again, not much to say there. I just wanted to announce that because we have mentioned it in our Game Pass stuff a few times.
When was the original?
Feb? I was supposed to say last year, I think, right?
Was it last year? Jeez.
I think so, yeah.
Maybe I feel like there was... okay, there was an announcement back in February something a few months ago.
Yeah, because it's been stated for Game Pass. Third delay, so... Yeah.
It's been stated for Game Pass, and then it's just like one of those ones that the month kind of just starts feeling empty because a lot of it's like filling in the PC side. Or like,
yeah.
I, like when I get to the Game Pass stuff, it does feel pretty short this week. Short this month.
Yeah. What have you found about Starfield, Cameron?
Yeah, so I put in something about the ESRB rating for Starfield reveals new info, including post-sex dialogue and drug use. So the game's been rated 4M for blood, strong language, suggestive themes, use of drug and violence in ahead of its September 6th release date. Players can use futuristic guns, lasers, axes, and explosives to kill enemies. Combat is fast-paced with frequent gunfire, cries of pain, explosions, attacks on some enemies can result in blood splatter effects. Several environments depict blood stains on the ground around corpses. The rating also suggested some games might have more suggestive content, including some of the dialogue shared between characters after sharing a bed. According to, this is the whole reason I added this article. According to the ESRB, one bedroom scene features the line, "Life is a sexually transmitted disease that's 100% fatal."
I mean, that's the most edgelord shit in the world. I mean,
I had a good laugh at that.
I mean, it's pretty standard, right? Like they're taking their cues from. They're taking more of the cues from Fallout as opposed to Skyrim, potentially on some of the stuff, which I think makes sense, right? It's a futuristic.
It does kind of sound like a Fallout in space.
Yeah, which it? You know, that's you know, I enjoy Fallout. I mean, I've enjoyed them less and less as they've made them, but yeah, I mean, the drug use thing is going to be an interesting one for the ratings board in Australia. That's the other thing.
Well, yeah. Everywhere else is getting it essentially as an M, and we're getting it a restricted R 18+ because of drug use. Which, yeah, immediately after hearing about that, like the game functioning around this fictional drug called Aurora, I was like, yep, this is 100% going to be an 18+ game in Australia.
Does every one of Bethesda's games have a trademark drug? Like, is that just their thing they like to do or what?
I've played Skyrim in a while.
I guess so, yeah. They give like Skooma and Skyrim, right?
Skooma.
And Elder Scrolls in general. Hi, Robbie. Thank you for joining us.
Jet and Psycho.
Jet and Psycho. And I mean, even like Rad X and stuff, right? I guess.
Yeah, to an extent. Those are medicines, though.
Medicine. Well, yeah. Hey, look, what's the difference between a drug and medicine? I guess is the question, right?
Legality.
Oh, my God. They got chocolate in the game.
Yeah, and exactly. Got away for a long
diabetes,
time, buddy.
That's R rating.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Jet and Cycle, the two ones that they're sort of... and then I'm trying to think anything else. And what are they going to have in...
Does like, Outer Worlds have anything? You haven't played it yet, have you?
I played a little bit of it.
That was Obsidian, wasn't it?
You're thinking of Outer Worlds. But that's Obsidian, yeah. I mean, well, yeah, again, the Obsidian, again, also owned by Xbox, but...
Yeah, now they are.
Yeah, it's just, well, New Vegas too. One of these days.
Why? Why is Australia so weird about drugs? And yeah,
it's that classification model is like really at. Like we went to a discussion in PAX like in 2018, 2019. It was before COVID, anyway. And they did the whole discussion of like
four times.
Basically, you know, it's a whole bunch of like older suits that don't understand. And then they just can't keep up with the classification board. They can't keep up with how media is evolving.
But also she described the process of actually getting the people together to make a decision like that, like getting regulated, like federal regulators together to make a decision like that. And apparently, like the way she described it, I was like, that sounds like a bureaucratic fucking nightmare.
I can imagine getting video game drugs legalized, probably low on their priority list.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly right. I mean, Australia basically runs on real life ones, so I mean,
100%.
Yeah, but those help them.
Kangaroos.
They don't want the kids getting them.
No, true. That's true. Not too early anyway.
You guys really do run on kangaroos? I didn't know that was true.
I'm trying to find like any other Bethesda games to just discuss drug use in them, but
Bethesda don't make that many games.
Yeah, they don't really make that many games, do they? Yeah.
No, I mean you could look at the wider ZeniMax audience, but yeah. Anyway.
What about drugs in IHRA Drug Racing Sportsman Edition?
Sure.
On the Xbox 360.
So that's, yeah,
steroids.
That's all the performance enhancing stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Growth hormones, yeah.
So our latest the latest news we got here is about Mortal Kombat 1, apparently.
Oh man.
I put this in there because I knew you and Nikita would be excited about it. But
I saw the video. I saw the teaser video of the clock before Nikita did, and I was like, God, I'm gonna lose my girlfriend. I'm gonna lose my fiance for like a fucking year. She hasn't been this ecstatic for something for ages. But I'm hearing a lot of there's two particular characters in the newer games that they reckon were so good that they should come back in one.
I mean, it's going to be a retcon, right? So they're basically just going to be like, fuck it, we'll do whatever we want. I mean, shit, 11 has time travel in it. They do stuff with the, like, you know, with the, like, bringing people from the past and the future into the stuff. So I don't know.
I mean, am I allowed to spoil the end of 11? Because, like, didn't they reboot the series in that one?
Kind of. Yeah, I mean, like if you play the DLC, this is a logical step, to be honest. Because I don't know where you would go from that.
Can I just say to it at the same time? Gotta love Ed Boon. Biggest game dev troll there is. Just chance he gets to troll, it would just fuck with the audience.
It's like him and Kojima. It's like they're like that.
Yeah. I'm actually excited for Mortal Kombat 1. Mainly just feeding off like Nikita's energy for it. This is probably a game that I would get day one just to play with. And then apparently the rumors around what was it? Homelander and
Peacemaker.
What
DLC
great DLC.
Which is, that would be amazing. Like that's two fucking perfect gets for that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like again, I'm a little bit out of the age bracket for the original Mortal Kombat games. I didn't start gaming until the PlayStation 1. So like I missed kind of all the NES, SNES, you know, Genesis era stuff, arcade stuff, and also because it just wasn't hugely popular in New Zealand. And so like I played a little bit of the original Mortal Kombat, but like going for a reboot makes perfect sense. I mean, that's kind of what they did with 9, right? They kind of retold that story, but that was also a long time ago as well.
Yeah, 9's what, like 2008?
Yeah, something like that. Would have been, yeah.
I'm not too sure, actually. Mortal Kombat 9.
2011.
But yeah, what was that?
2011.
Okay, so I was a few years off. But I could see myself getting this as a day one purchase.
Yeah, I think
but
so.
Especially if it's like 1, 2, because I feel like that's probably the best point for me to jump on. Like, I've played Mortal Kombat, but I've never really, like, you know, I've never gotten to the series, like, I've like, we watch the movies.
Yeah.
But I still, like, I love the original compared to the new one.
Yep, same.
Even though Nikita says that's absolutely insulting and I need to get my...
the original is so good.
Oh, it's just that campy kind of humor.
Yeah, they got the 90s down to an art form, yeah.
Oh, man. But, I'm excited.
Shane, what about you? I mean, have you played any of the Mortal Kombat? It's not really the kind of thing that's in your normal wheelhouse, right?
Yeah, not really. Those achievements are usually pretty scary. I have played on my alternate account with my daughter, funny enough, like with my on the free play days and things like that. But yeah, I have yet to see a list that I'm like, oh yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
I mean,
I did Ultimate World Combat 3. I did that one on 360.
Oh, yep.
But those are doable.
Like 11's pretty tame, right?
Both 10 and 11 are actually relatively straightforward. I mean, like let me
I
put
remember seeing that.
I've done them.
I know 9's rough.
Like the only thing that I'm worse at than fighting games is driving games, which will tell you something. So like those games are always like a real rough one for me. But I really, you know, like I actually really, really enjoyed both 10 and 11. I think 10 was probably a little bit better.
I should do 10s online. Okay.
Nine is the one that's a huge investment. You should. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Nine is definitely the one I know of. But either way, I've never had access to them, so
sure.
Kind of a moot point. If they came to Game Pass, maybe. It wasn't one of them.
I think 11 was in Game Pass, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it is.
It's right around it.
Yeah, no, it's still in there.
Is it in there still? Okay.
Still is?
No, it's Xbox Cloud Gaming, PC Game Pass, Xbox Game Pass.
Okay. Oh,
okay. Get back to me when it's Valaking, I guess.
You know
maybe.
What? Yeah. You know what? If it's on PC Game Pass and Xbox Game Pass, there you go.
You can boost it yourself. Yeah, for the most part.
Yourself.
But I actually own 11, so if you need a boosting button, let me know.
Pretty sure I own 11 as well.
We're excited to see. Apparently, there's rumored launch date is going to be September this year, which, again, this is the kind of thing that they usually do, is they usually announce pretty close to when they actually launch. I know that
still
we
can't believe that
Summer Game Fest, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also, again, like there was the talk about, like, they said they weren't going to be doing Injustice 3, maybe, because of the whole DC thing, and they missed their usual cadence last year. For bringing out a game, so it looks like this is the one. I mean, obviously, yeah, everyone knew it was going to be happening anyway, but it's cool for them to kind of announce that they're working on any Mortal Kombat, so
yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
All right, okay. What else have we got here? I didn't put this one in here, but I'm just going to quickly touch on it. So there's a Stadia exclusive game called Guilt. Is now coming to Xbox in July.
Oh, I saw that.
That's just coming to Xbox normally, yeah, not Game Pass.
At this point, I think it's just Xbox normally, but it wouldn't surprise me if it ends up on Game Pass. It's July, like, yeah.
Tequila Works.
Yeah, Tequila Works. Yeah, yeah. It was actually something I was, when Stadia first got announced, this was their like killer IP exclusive that I was actually really interested in. I mean, it's a really cool game.
Oh man, poor Stadia.
Yeah, I know.
Man, right. Killer IP. Man, you can't use words like that.
Okay, it was killer IP.
It killed the platform.
It was their one of their few exclusive games that they launched with. Apparently it's quite good. I watched I've watched some trailers and some like first hour let's plays and that sort of stuff.
I'm curious.
I obviously didn't think I was ever going to play it.
It's like a survival horror, survival game.
It's
like
kind
that.
Of, yeah, like sort of like thing, like stealth adventure, like it's like spooky, but not necessarily like horror as it were. Like, again, it's like kind of,
yeah.
It's got that sort of art style to it. It's obviously not like going for like the super scary shit, but it looks real good. So I'm definitely going to check that out at some stage. If it comes to Game Pass, that'll probably be a day one for me. But until then, wait for a good sale. All right, what was this one about ROG?
All right, so the ROG stuff to me has been like very interesting because people have just been rumoring, like putting rumors out about the specs, about the price. Obviously, Steam Deck, very popular console. Hasn't hit Australia. I don't think it's hit New Zealand, correct? So, like, a lot of people were getting imports and that to try and get it over. Back on April 1st, of all things, Asus announced that they were going to have the ROG, the Republic of Gamers Ally, portable console, and everybody kind of responded just like, April 1st, we're not falling for this shit.
Yeah, timing could have been a little better on that one.
Yeah, timing was, like, really off on that one. Past that, over the next 6 weeks, I guess, they've released more details. Like, it'll be running Windows 11. It's actually getting bundled 3 months of Game Pass, I saw yesterday, which I think is a great idea. Xbox Wire actually did an article on it with a hands-on by Jeff Rubenstein of the Major Nelson podcast or Xbox podcast. I'm interested in your opinions about it because I think this is the closest thing we're ever going to get to a portable. Like, you know how we all were discussing rumors about the Switch potentially getting Game Pass and having like native games being installed and that kind of stuff. To have a portable console like this with, I need to look into the, I think it was like 600 US for the lower model.
Comparable to the Steam Deck kind of pricing. Yeah.
Comparable to Steam Deck for pricing, but the specs were a shit ton better.
Yeah.
This one would be able, the Steam Deck can do 720p. This one will be able to do 1080.
It's going to have half as much battery life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, yeah.
I mean, this is the thing though. Like, if you just want to kind of like lay in bed and just do that, like, I think this is the, This is a great little console to take around with you. Yeah. I want your opinions.
Yeah, I think that this is probably... I mean, I think it makes sense. I think we're going to see more competitors in this space. Whether they're successful or not, I think it's going to be a very different story. I mean, Steam has had some stinkers in the past in terms of hardware development, right? Like, if you think about, like, their Steam controller, if you think about the...
What was the console that they had? Like,
yeah, the Steam boxes that they were doing with it, like, in association. And then they had, like, the Steam Link as well. All of that stuff has just been shut down and just kind of had... And so this is their crack at, like, mobile game or portable gaming. It seems to be doing very, very well. Obviously, like you said, limited releases still in other countries, but people have been loving it. And apparently they're not planning on doing like a version 2 for a fair while yet. Mm. I mean, I think this makes sense. I think we're definitely going to see more of these kinds of things. But I mean, you can play Game Pass on a Steam Deck right now, right? Like, I mean, again, it's Linux.
Mm-hmm. So
you
okay.
Do a little bit of work to it, but
you can, but isn't that through like cloud still?
What? No, you should. I mean, theoretically, you should be able to download games onto it, right? I mean, you like if you can get the app, because I mean, you can run Windows on the damn thing if you want.
But isn't that like a Linux UI though?
Well, it is. It is. But it's just a computer. You can put Windows onto it. You can boot into Windows.
Yeah. Okay. I'm thinking more so from like an accessibility point, like. Normal everyday consumer straight out of the box.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot harder. You can do it, but
I think most people who have this, I mean, again, like Steam, like Steam Deck version 1, I think most people who are buying that are like, that's not where that product is at right now. Right. I think that's like their next iteration that they'll do, which will make it more consumer friendly. Right now, this is for fucking nerds who want to go in there and fuck around with Proton and, you know, try bootloading stuff and sideloading things and seeing what works on it.
You'll still have the earlier adopter that's happy to, like, that doesn't have the knowledge to do that kind of stuff that's happy to pay the price, though.
Sure. I mean, the other thing is that, like even if you just run what's regular there, like, Steam's library is the largest of any distributor in the world.
Okay, so, that's the other thing from this then. If somebody buys a Steam Deck, they're going to buy it for Steam. Like, 99% of the time. This I could see, like, especially Xbox Wire articles, that kind of stuff. Jeff Rubenstein talking about it for all people. That's gonna have the conversation like this is the portable Game Pass console. And you think like the success of the Nintendo Switch, I would be very interested to see going into the next generation, what's a Switch 2 gonna look like? Because I think we've finally reached a point where I don't think Nintendo is going to drastically change their hardware.
Well,
no,
I mean,
not yet.
I mean, the reports this week, again, this is an Xbox podcast, so I don't have it in front of me, but
yeah.
The reports this week are basically that they have no plans to make anything, to release a new console in this financial year. So that's basically up until April.
I imagine we're going to see something late next year, but I'm saying like if we get a new Nintendo Switch, it's going to be the Nintendo Switch 0.2.
Sure.
I don't see them going like from a jump from a Wii to a Wii U to like, you know, the differences between the console generations for Nintendo. I think they'll stay for something consistent now because they're kind of capturing both markets Well, they're basically blended their portable console market with their home consoles.
Yeah, but they've kind of also cannibalized the two of them. So,
The funny thing is too, just talking about Nintendo for a second here too. I'm just trying to think through the train of thought. The funny thing is with it, damn it, it's escaped me.
It'll come to you.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, Shane, what do you think? Are you interested in portable consoles? I mean, you are on the go a fair amount.
Yeah, and I was thinking about it because the Steam Deck came out. It's cool, and I think you can install Game Pass games on there.
Yeah,
and then you've got the Ally and everything. But to me, Game Pass is cloud. Like if I'm playing portable, I already have my phone in my pocket at all times. Yeah, I can whip the sucker out and play, you know, Game Pass games. So to me, it's just, why would I want to carry another thing? You know what I mean? Because I have a 3DS I never touched for that very reason.
Mm.
So to me, I don't get the point of it. And I'm sure a lot of people, like Cameron said, would love to sit in their bed, like lounging and play games. I mean, it's got like, what, 512 gigabytes of storage? So
yeah,
you can install like a game or two.
One Call of Duty.
But or Call of Duty. Well, maybe not even Call of Duty. You might not be able to fit that on there.
Sure.
But, well, like,
yeah, no, I don't know. Gig. Oof.
I'm pretty sure Stallion put out a tweet this week that is just like he filled the S's storage with Call of Duty and one other game.
Mm.
I don't think it was.
Yeah, something like that.
Star Wars, maybe? I think it was the new Star Wars game. Yeah. To me, the Yowai is more beneficial, though, because you're installing games natively, though. You're not streaming through the cloud. Especially like in Australia where fucking internet connections are so unstable.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see this as like a download machine, right? I mean, like I don't stream most of my Game Pass games. Like, I usually, if I do, it's streaming to my console, like from my console to another device, so I can use it. But I still downloaded the game. But I get your point, Chan. Like, I think it's a niche of a niche, right? Like, it's quite a for Xbox to be supportive of it would be quite a small market. I mean, maybe it's a growing market, but you're right. But then again, I guess there are people who want to play stuff with a controller, I guess, right? Or with, you know, sticks and grips and all that kind of stuff.
But on the Microsoft side, I feel like they're going to push full on cloud more than accessing your games anywhere. Like,
true.
I think they want you on the cloud streaming as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And that's what their whole play anywhere kind of thing they're going for.
I mean, I half agree with that statement. I think they're very much and like Phil said last week, just play anywhere. They want access on any device. They're not worried about winning console things.
No, they gave up that a lot. He was very blunt about that. They were just like, nah, we're in third place. We lost that.
Very chill, like very down to earth about it last week. You gotta give him that.
He was not in a good mood though.
Would you?
It was a rough week for Microsoft for sure.
Yeah,
I feel like Redfall being put on Xbox is a bit unfair too, especially if they were doing development on it before.
I mean, I would get into it, but we haven't got the time. But I would love to dissect that at some stage.
I think like just the Ally is a pick up, like, you know, just pick up, buy, install games to a kind of device, and have like Windows 11 on it. I'm purely like doing this versus Steam Deck. I just think it is the better.
No, better from option. What I've seen, it definitely is better than Steam Deck, but that's going to happen. Like, these iterations are going to get, that's going to become a thing. Like, as long as that market is growing, I really don't know much about it. Like, is Steam Deck doing well?
Apparently it's doing very well.
There's only gonna be more competition then.
All the manufacturers are gonna be like, oh great, we can make lower spec PCs with cheaper screens and sell them at higher prices. Like,
well, if the Nintendo Switch has told us anything, people will buy. You don't see all the Zelda reviews going on about 30 FPS.
Some of them you do, but yeah.
Okay. I saw one of the reviews was like a 6 out of 10, and I was just seeing torn to shreds.
Yeah. I mean, from what I hear, if you don't like Breath of the Wild, you're not gonna like this.
Yeah. Same, more of the same.
Anyway,
pretty much.
We've also got the there's gonna be a May update for the Xbox coming out in the next week or so, I think.
So available to download now. Adds the ability to see gamer takes of Discord friends. New store filter options, a battery fix for controllers, and more. I'm interested about the Discord friends game it takes.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I haven't integrated my Xbox stuff with Discord at all, but you know, I mean, I guess that makes sense. They have Discord natively on the app now, so
yeah. I mean, it's just I've got like the two monitors here, so it's easy for me to just jump into a Discord call while I'm playing Xbox. But I imagine if you're like limited space and that kind of stuff, would be a pretty easy thing to use.
For sure.
Firmware update also fixes the bug fix for controllers that disconnect in games when using headphones with 4K, 120Hz, and VRR enabled.
Okay. There you go. All right.
And bug fixes for unexpected slow battery drain in controllers with internal batteries such as the Elite Series 2. Oh, and the Xbox Adaptive Controller.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Come up with a new homepage. I'm waiting for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all where the inside is at the moment, right? So hopefully the next month or two we see something.
Yep. Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted to talk about this next story, but...
Yeah, I did see it. I was debating putting it on there, but we can do. Yeah.
Yeah.
We mentioned it now. I mean,
do we? Okay. So Bobby Kotick came out and reportedly said that he thinks AI could be used as a part of a new Guitar Hero.
Because we all know that AI and music is such a great combination.
My mind's going like several ways with this because he hasn't... Okay. So to explain the article, he had a company-wide meeting and he said that AI could play a part in video game development. I don't know how much people realize that a lot of modern-day AI, including ChatGPT, started with the idea of being a game, whether it was Warcraft or Dota or Starcraft or Go or chess. What is now these large language learning model AI technologies all started from this idea of beating a game. I think one of these things I've experienced over the last year is the same feeling that I had when I was up when I first when I saw that first Macintosh about how meaningful the impact of AI would be on a society, both positive and negative. Matt, can you take over?
Sure. I mean, basically, he's just saying that like he thinks it's going to have profound positive impact on the way that they make video games. Now, if it was anyone else in the world saying this, I would believe him. But this is Bobby Kotick, the man who literally has baby blood in his pockets. It says, if you take the example of something like Guitar Hero, we've always had a vision for a new Guitar Hero product to be, but without AI and the processes and blah, blah, blah. I mean, he's basically saying that, like, hey, we can basically do something over the next 5 to 7 years, potentially, that the AI is going to have a huge impact on games in general. But he obviously mentions Guitar Hero as an example of a series that is no longer around because it's basically not cost effective for them to do.
Well, I've already seen AI being used positively in game development. Like I've seen solo devs being able to, like, I don't fully condone it, but they've been able to like stretch their resources and utilize like AI art, that kind of stuff to kind of like complete games.
I mean, this is something that's kind of, there's been some talk in the voice acting community about having AI voices just basically replace a lot of voice actors for NPCs.
Yeah.
Obviously,
that's getting sketchy.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So again, we're getting into quite like uncharted territory here in terms of like legality and like what's right and ethical.
Yeah, I'm talking about that. But then at the same time, like I see so many positions advertised as like unpaid or like voice acting for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
Lefty points out, I thought the downfall of Guitar Hero was the music licensing and such. How does this help that? I think part of it is just like, I think it's more talking about development in general. Because again, you still have to.
Well, he has an example here. If you take an example of a thing like Guitar Hero, I always have this vision for what a new Guitar Hero product could be, but without having AI. And then the processors embedded either in phones and computers or in consoles that allow you to actually have the speed of processing to enable that AI. We've been in a place where AI is to have practical reality and I can't even say it. Games until now. I could see AI being utilized to help generate note charts and that.
Yeah, well, so the theory is that potentially it could like help isolate like instrumental tracks from existing music so they can start mapping it into those, you know, the what do they call it, the
track?
Runway.
No,
they have a specific name for it, but I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, they do.
But the idea basically of having that, like, being able to pull something that doesn't have a master, for example, or something along those lines, being able to like identify music in real easy ways. And then, I mean, it also like generating like unique music as well, and giving the ability to create your own stuff.
Give me the devil went down to Georgia, mixed with Through the Fire and Flames.
Oh my God! Yeah,
they won't purchase.
Oh God, that would be ridiculous.
Isn't the whole point of Guitar Hero though just be ridiculous?
I mean, I guess so. I mean, I haven't played a Guitar Hero.
One since three.
Yeah, three is the last one I've really spent a lot of time with. Anyway, But yeah, that's our news for this week. So not a huge amount going on. We're kind of we're in the kind of the relatively quiet period before the big summer
before
games
Key3.
Fest. Yeah, the E3 season. The
Key3. I feel like Spencer's interview last week was like, that's all anyone needs for a while.
Yeah, pretty much. It was
taking that apart.
Yeah, a lot to chew on with that for sure.
Yep. All right, I'm going to go for the Game Pass.
Yeah, Summer Game Fest.
Summer Game Fest will be interesting.
Yeah, well, I think what we should do, you know, we'll do a bit of a, when we get a little bit closer, we'll do a couple episodes around what we're thinking about that's coming up and that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
But yeah, Game Pass stuff, Cameron.
All right, Game Pass. So this week, Weird West Definitive Edition came out for Xbox Series S and X. May 9th, Shadowrun Trilogy for PC. May 11th, Fugo Melodies of Steel 2. FIFA 23 is coming for EA Play on May 16th, which I think is an amazing idea, seeing that Ted Lasso Season 3 is getting to the finale, episodes off. So actually being able to go in the next few days and play as Richmond FC while watching that is... I'm actually excited to play a FIFA game.
Again. I have not watched any of Ted Lasso. I'm sorry to say.
It's such a good show.
Yeah, me either.
People keep saying.
It's like one of the best shows. This is the thing. There's so many good shows on Apple TV, but nobody watches Apple TV.
I had to be pulled kicking and screaming to watch Severance.
Severance was good. I love Severance.
Yeah, Succession 2. I want to watch that. There's a lot of good stuff on there.
I need to watch Succession.
And HBO Max and all the other streams. Ugh.
Yeah, you just got to go like five or six different partners. Anyway, Railway Empire 2. So. Yeah, they took them out a long time ago.
I know, I got them all.
They don't count. Railway Empire 2. They don't count. Railway Empire 2, May 25th, and Farworld Pioneers on May 30th. Leaving in the middle of the month, we have Before We Leave, DragonRompa 2, Goodbye Despair Anniversary Edition, Yumuragi Generation Special Edition, Hearts of Iron 4, and Her Story. Her Story was confirmed, yeah? I feel like that was...
I'm really sure that was, yeah.
And then Games of the Gold for the month, we have Star Wars Episode 1 Risa, which I'll talk about in a second, and Hollow coming out on the May the 16th to June 15th.
Yeah, not a huge amount at the moment, right? I mean, Fuga is really the only thing on there that I can kind of see that I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, maybe.
I mean, like, look, I think Weird West, because it has so many missiles, we're just not into it.
I mean, it's already there. The thing is, like, Weird West is already on the system, right? They've just updated it to the next, like, a definitive edition.
Shadowrun's already there. FIFA's something that's already...
Yeah.
But obviously, we had Redfall and Ravenlock, and I loved Ravenlock.
Yeah.
Redfall, yeah, that's a completely different story.
We'll get
to
that in a second.
Yeah.
Railway Empire... Far World Pioneers, I'll probably check out. But yeah.
That Lulana? Lana game?
Planet of Lana, yeah. Actually.
Yeah, Planet of Lana is supposed to be coming out
as well. That should be, I think, like May 25th, something around that.
23rd, I think it was.
23rd?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, why was that not in my list? Anyway, Planet of Lana. That's one.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for that. Anyway, let's get into what we've been playing then. Shane. You haven't been on the show for a little bit, so let's hear the goss. What do you got going on? I mean, obviously you've got some big stuff in there.
Yeah, I decided that I'll be on the podcast, and I don't really play much noteworthy games. Like, I'm usually a couple years or maybe a couple generations back. So I started Redfall because everyone was talking about it and hating on it. I'm like, if I love garbage games, then I'll love this.
Oh my god! I will say that everyone was being like, "Why are you doing this, Shane? What is wrong with you? Are you sick? Is this a cry for help? Like, what's going on?"
Yeah, everyone's like, "You don't play new games. What are you doing?" Like, I had a stroke. It's fine. It's not that bad. It really isn't. Like,
okay, now is this just Stockholm syndrome? You're just trying to convince yourself?
No, not mostly.
Why is there a gun pointed to you?
We played bad games, and Redfall is kind of dull.
Look,
it's not Prey level.
I agree with you.
Yeah, bad.
If we're playing bad games, we may as well play bad games by AAA developers.
Yeah, this is clearly something. Like, even Phil said last week, like, he's like, "Oh, we really didn't have much to do with Redfall. Like, it was already in development, and they kind of just hands off it." And I don't know. It's probably just someone's idea. Like, hey, let's try this out. And I don't think Arcane Austin has done anything like this. Like no online, no looter shooters, like nothing like that. So I mean, it's a valid first attempt, but I have definitely played a lot worse, even on the Series S and Xbox One. Like it's very fun. I was a lot more negative on it last week while I was doing the collectibles because the world is very empty. Like I was playing it when it came out, so there were no guides. So I was looking for the collectibles, and first off, they are very well hidden. There is one that's on top of a two-story building, shoved into the molding, like in the nook of a roof. Like there's no way to track them either, so it's really hard to find. So I was prowling the entire world, and at that point I was like, this game is really stupid. Because I'd walk into a block, like a neighborhood block of four apartment buildings you can go into, like three, four stories each and rooms, and dig through, nothing in them. There's like maybe a couple items to pick up, no collectibles, no enemies. They're just there. And that's a lot of the world. It's really strange. So I was a lot more negative on the game last week because I was so boring. But this week, now that the guys are out, I got all the collectibles and I'm just playing. And it's way more fun. It's a lot more fun when you're actually doing things and fighting zombies. I keep calling them zombies.
Everyone's vampires, calling them zombies. I've been vampires. Hearing that all over the place.
I was watching someone stream it, and he kept doing the same thing. I'm like, oh, thank God I'm not the only one. Jeez. But yeah, so I think people were far too negative on it. I am enjoying it a lot more. I would say it's more fun in co-op, but the little co-op I have done for achievements, that is where the glitches are. It does not run well online at all. Constant, just little things, from little things to constant T-posing and people losing their arms to just crashes or characters getting stuck or your buttons not working and all of the stuff people have talked about. So
kind of makes you wonder
oddly
why
enough,
the...
I definitely would suggest it.
I was going to say, kind of makes you wonder why all the press coverage was like solo gameplay and not co-op.
Yeah. Hey? Yeah, definitely makes sense. I don't know. I definitely am a lot more on it this week than I was last week. I'm getting close to done, too. I've only got... I need one more collectible, but it's on a side mission. And that's like the rarest ratio achievement right now. And... for achievement hunters, and one reason I've been super slow on finishing this is there are a lot of missiles. The game is a mission structure. It's open world, but you have missions that go through a tree. When you're done with the mission, you can't replay them. You have to start over. And there's a missable achievement in almost every main mission, I want to say. And a bunch of the side missions. And there's like one achievement where, there's a point of no return halfway through the game. There's one achievement where you have to do a missable thing in one map to do a missable thing in the second map. And if you don't do both, you don't get the achievement. So it's like a game long missable achievement. There's a lot of that kind of stuff. There's some missions where you can only get one of the missable achievements, like doing one will invalidate the other. So that achievement is what, two missions from the end of the game.
Oh, so yeah, there's some save trickery or.
Yeah. It's all pretty quick save. If I am fast enough, I could close out the game and delete my local save and maybe get it. But that's me cutting it real close.
Right.
So I'm actually, what I was doing before the show was I'm leveling up a new character up to the second map. Because overall, the game is very short. If you just blow through it, like for instance, for me, if I'm trying to go and get those missables that I missed in the second half, speed through the game. It's not even, I'd say 5 hours to get to the second half of the game. So... it's not as bad as everyone made it seem to be. It'll be even easier, I'm sure, by the time most people are, I was gonna say valiking it, but it's an Xbox game, so it's never leaving Game Pass. But well, when people get around to it, it'll be a whole different game, I'm sure. That's like the main thing I've been playing.
I've been looking at that and being like, I'll wait for some, you know, once TA has a proper walkthrough for it and like that kind of stuff or something along those lines, so I'm just kind of not fucking about too much.
But it's been kind of fun to like worm through it, you know, and like figure it out myself, because, and I made spreadsheets and, you know, all kinds of things, because usually when I'm playing games, man, they've had guides for years. So this is a totally not new, but, you know, rare thing for me to experience. Not looking forward to the eventual updates. I'm sure that'll be coming. Hopefully.
Oh
free,
yeah. Right. But you know, it's going to be supported with some bullshit DLC, probably an arena mode of some fucking Yeah. All right.
Oh God, please don't do a horde mode.
Yeah, I was gonna
hate
say they'll do
so
like a
much.
Mad
There's a
Moxie
horde
bullshit thing,
mode. There
right?
will be
Because
a
that's cheap
deal.
and easy for
Mad
them to
Moxie is
make.
one of the worst DLCs ever.
Yep, agreed.
There'll be like an
They've already
Ashen
announced that there are
level.
two new characters, so we'll see.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Ooh,
There'll
that'd
be
be
like a
cool.
there'll be like an Ashen DLC with like 10 achievements, like not even 10 achievements with 17 gamma score each.
Ugh.
It'd be
Don't
like some like
put that on our side.
1131 gamer score.
That's
Oh yeah,
crazy.
I like how a lot of the like picky achievement hunter has been mad because there's like 17 gamer score achievements and things like
Finish the
that. A lot
game, you'd
of
be fine. Yeah.
weird numbered ones. So
Or
isn't there
use
a
the
game like
game
that where
to
it's like,
feature.
here's your first achievement, you're screwed, now finish the game?
Pretty much.
Which achievement
Actually.
does that? Which game does that? One of them does. Where it's like the first
Deadpool.
achievement's like a one, and then the final achievement's like a 19.
Oh,
Isn't it? I'm thinking of
oh.
like,
there's a few games. Like, I know it was one of the Crash Bandicoot, the later Crash Bandicoot games has something like that. I remember it has an uneven
Fine.
score.
Gross.
They get to finish it on like hard mode to get like a 3-point achievement or something.
Yeah, that's the most noticeable thing I've been doing. Run through of everything else I've been playing lately. I did a little more Max Payne 3. At some point, I'll hopefully finish that. We'll see. I've been working on Minecraft on the Switch because I don't know. I didn't load up a map for that one. I'm just kind of actually playing it, which is pretty great. The game's so much fun still. It has Graveyard Keeper and Saint Kotar both had updates. Why did Saint Kotar get an update?
Why did Saint
I
Kotar get an update?
purposely
That
did that
exact
game.
same question.
I gotta say, the
I
Graveyard
purposely did that
Keeper.
game because, huh?
The Graveyard Keeper DLC, though, Better Call Souls. Such a great
Call
name.
Soul, yeah.
Such a
Have you
great
played
name.
that game?
I played Graveyard Keeper for so much when I first got it. I need to go back to
Okay.
it, but at the same time, I'm worried because days are gonna escape me. It is a very addictive
Man, those.
game.
It is, but the problem is I keep coming back to it for the DLCs and I have no freaking idea what I'm doing. Like, where are my pumpkins? Where is my souls? Where did I put this material? How do I do this? What are these days? Oh, right, lust, sloven, all that stuff. Like, I have to relearn the entire game every goddamn time I have to go back. It sounds
Yeah.
like this is the final DLC though. So I think I'm finally done with the game.
I
They said they made
might
it
give it a
sound
try
very
then.
final. Yeah. And what I was getting at, Cameron, was Better Call Soul, but then it's like there's also Ghostbuster references in this DLC, and there's
Yes.
a lot of like pop culture references in this game. A lot of them.
I like it when
Like I
devs
have
have fun like that.
the
Oh,
Necronomicon. So
right.
yeah, it's always nice. Yeah, and then I don't know why Saint Kotar got DLC. I purposely did that game earlier this year because no one had played it on TA. Like it was like the least played game from the year prior. And it got DLC. Why? I don't
Well, I
know,
mean, you
but I
tweeted
luckily I
them
found
and they
it
were
for
like, hey, wait
sale
a
in
minute, someone's
Argentina.
playing this game. We better put some more content out
Oh
for it.
no, you're right. They did interact with all my posts,
Yeah,
so it might be my
was that the
fault.
one you got physical through the rental?
Gamefly. Yeah.
Gamefly, that's it,
It
yeah.
was one of my rentals. They did
Looks
two other
like you're
games
gonna be
actually, so I'm really
renting it
hoping they don't
again.
go and update the other one.
Yeah.
Oh no, I finished it. Psh, you kidding me? I found it for like three American dollars on an Argentinian store, so I bought it.
Oh, there
Just
you go.
forget that. Did some
Oh, shit.
Valaking, I did Loot River, I did Bug Snacks, I did Life is Strange True Colors. I finished my weird pervy Japanese hormone shooter game,
Oh, Galgun.
which I sold to Stealth. Yeah, Galgun. That game was awesome. The game was way more fun than I thought it'd be, and a lot easier than I thought it'd be too. I was really nervous about starting that. And yeah, and I finished Overwatch 2 again, which I'm sure I'll be playing that until the end of time.
Yep, they're on the free to play train now, so
Overwatch
there's no escape.
3, and Overwatch 4, and Overwatch 5.
What about you, Cameron?
Do we both want to talk about Ravenlock?
Yeah,
Usually
let's
did
just.
Ravenlock as well,
I
yeah?
did do
Yeah.
Ravenlock, yeah.
I really liked it.
I enjoyed it for what it was. It's very simple.
Yeah, it's 100%. This was one of those games that I'm just like, right, outside of like all the outright kind of games that we get on Game Pass that are like obviously your I'm blanking so hard. Peppa
Licensed
Pig,
titles.
like you know, licensed title like Peppa Pig, DC, League of Super Pets, that kind of stuff. I thought this was like a really good, like, all right, I could see like a 6 or 7 year old playing this kind of game, like kids content for Game Pass.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I don't know if they'd be super happy with you saying that. But I mean, I agree. It's a relatively simple game. It's part of a trilogy of games that they've done, right? They did Riverbond first.
Riverbod,
Echo Generation, and now this.
Echo Generation, yeah.
And so they've been touting it as their voxel trilogy, and they've been improving the way they do voxels as the games go on, which has been really interesting. I think the game looks great. I really like the art style. Yeah.
Ravenlock's like pixels in comparison to Echo Generation, so much better.
Yeah.
Like, I was really impressed at how well the game looked and ran.
Yeah, I agree.
No.
The only downside I had in terms of performance was, I think if you were running and you did a menu pause at the same time, sometimes it would glitch out and continue the character running, and then you'll lose access to the controls.
Oh.
That happened to me once or twice. And then it was just to quit out, join back in exactly where I was, continued on kind of case. But yeah, like, I really like the art style. I really like the boss designs. It's very much a simple, like, swing and hit kind of Zelda-like
that,
kind of game.
That is probably my biggest issue with the game, is that the combat itself, there is quite a bit of it, obviously, because half the game is exploration and puzzle solving, and half of it is combat. Puzzle solving's fine. Story's fine. It's very light, a very, very lightweight story. It is very much like a sort of mini Zelda-style game, where it's like, go do a bunch of dungeons, do some quests.
It's mini Zelda meets Alice in Wonderland, essentially.
Yeah, basically. So it's like a 3 to 4 hour game, maybe 5 if you get stuck. My biggest issue is the combat. It is literally like the enemies don't react to you hitting them. There is no weight to the combat at all. It's essentially just you running around in a circle and just keep hitting the X button to keep tapping and dodging their attacks and hitting them until your abilities charge up. You use the ability to do some more damage and just continue. And it's basically just like circle strafing the enemy, trying to get their health down before your health goes down. It's really, really simple. In the same way that Riverbond was very, very simple in that regard.
That's why I think it's like aimed more at a younger audience.
Potentially, I'm not really sure, but yeah.
Frog facts.
Yes,
things about frogs.
Look, I managed to get all the frog facts in the first try, so I'm pretty proud of myself for that.
I missed one of them, but
I know all about frogs.
Frog facts, huh?
Yeah.
All it looks like all the achievements are cool. Storyline, huh? I mean,
for the most part, yeah. It's like storyline, do some quests. And then there's a couple of miscellaneous achievements around like buying a certain amount of things. But I did a blind playthrough. And I got almost all the achievements with no problem whatsoever. And then at the end of it, I just spent all my money buying potions and bombs to get the last couple of achievements.
It is 100% that one of those kind of games that actually the bombs thing is an interesting thing that you bring up too. I think if you do that before the end of the game, people were having issues with that achievement. But as soon as the final cutscene happened, even like when they had purchased the bombs, it was unlocking after the final cutscene.
Right.
So yeah, if you're having issues with that, wait until the end of the game. It's very easy to clean up. Like, you find most of the bunny statues pretty easily, except for, I think, the one behind the Hydra.
Yeah, there's a few of them that can be a little bit tricky to find, but essentially, like, a video guide. Like, I just looked up a video guide for the
10-minute cleanup.
Yeah, exactly. Like, real simple, because you can teleport around most of the places. So, really good Game Pass game. Lightweight.
Yeah.
Anyone who's just kind of, mildly interested, I'd say get on it.
Definitely.
Installed. So that's one of the next ones.
It's definitely that prime length of, like, a game that I would like because it's only going to take me a night kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah, you finish in one sitting for sure. What else you got?
Ravenlock, Yumuragi, Generation Special Edition. Not much to really talk about other than it's essentially paparazzi without dogs. Killer robots instead. I don't know what this game is meant to be.
I mean, it's like an art style. Like, it very much reminds me of like a Jet Set Radio kind of like graffiti art style art kind of thing going on with the backdrop of a war against intergalactic aliens.
It's an anti-war statement kind of thing.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, it was...
Yumuragi, isn't that a Australian thing, though? Or is it New Zealand? It's one of the two.
I have no idea.
What's a meme?
Oh.
I'm looking up the meaning because I'm not sure. Red Sky, perpetual sight in the first-person photography game. The sign of the climate of the Hurunga at a... Yeah, I think it is Kiwi. Anyway.
Neo.
Huh?
I said, nice job, Neo, not knowing your history.
Yeah. I'm Swedish. What do you want from me?
Yeah. But yeah, like, quick, easy 1 hour. Star Wars Episode One Racer. I played like 3 or 4 hours legit with nostalgia. Towards the end of the game, that's when it starts getting a bit harder. So there's a cheat menu that you do by holding down left trigger and inputting your code with LB, not A. TA's got a good walkthrough for it. Turn down the AI to like 5 or 6 and then just breeze through it by using A and Y. So you'll just back yourself up, go over the finish line, back, forth, and then bam, you're done. For those races, and then you just buy the miscellaneous stuff and yeah. Very quick. You do it in an hour. I did in like, I think 5 or 6 just to get the soldier at it. I remember you playing it on the N64 at a mate's when I was younger.
Same.
Just kind of wanted to just play as Anakin and just play through a bit of it. Main two I want to talk about, Call of the Lamb, Relics of the Old Faith. Talking about games that you have to kind of relearn, I could not remember how to build shit or anything for the life of me. I was like, where do I access the build menu? Not knowing that it's a specific circle on the map that you go to build the items of the rest of the base. Once I figured that out, been pretty easy for the most part. The Midas achievement is currently glitched, not showing up for everybody. And then there's a full run of Purgatory, which is 6 levels that I need to do. I'm currently up to the 5th one. Keep on getting to the final boss in it and just getting like one hit. And I haven't found any proper way to be able to do it. Still a fun game, but the deal, like, this DLC is essentially New Game Plus and a lot harder than the basic game. So if you're a bit unsure, I would probably steer clear of it.
Okay.
And then the last case of Benedict Fox. I am very proud of myself for getting this completion.
Yeah, from what I heard, it's a fucking mess.
So,
which is a shame because I was so excited for this game.
I'm so torn. I was so excited for this game as well that I went like last weekend. All right, I finished Ravenlock on stream. I ended up streaming like 10 hours straight. I just went, all right, I'm going to do Benedict Fox. I'm going to get into it. I'm going to chuck on like the one hit, the immortality, the easy puzzle solver. I just want an easy breeze, nice story kind of game, and I'll go through like that. Oh boy. So apparently, I'm just going to take some of the feedback that I've heard around the community so far. The combat and all that is not scaled perfectly. It is really hard. So I definitely suggest taking advantage of the one hit and the immortality to get through the game. Puzzles, solve them at your own leisure. I would say there's enough of a Metroidvania element of it, of the game, for that to be the game in itself.
Right.
But if you want to, like, it's pretty much one of those kind of games that you can pick your difficulty level. It's very accessible in that, like, whether you want relaxing combat, challenging combat, accessibility items like one hit, immortality, easy puzzle solving, and all. But the Metroidvania element is going to be the thing that gets you. I had issues with this game where for a good hour and a half on stream, I was running around like a headless chalk trying to find out the next thing. It does not do a good job at signposting. There was one thing that tells you to find, open a chest in Maria's office. I kept on going around looking at every single anchor point trying to find Maria's office, and I could not for the life of me. I actually had to rely on somebody in one of the other Discords to, hey, can you give me, help me out? Oh, you're going to be really pissed off at yourself, but it's in the top left-hand corner in the original foyer. I'm like, fuck's sake. How the game works is essentially you're diving into two individuals' limbos, like, and you're essentially exploring them to find out the causes of their death.
Right.
Very interesting story in that regard. You've got characters like Harry Houdini in there as well. The upgrade elements are pretty good. The main issue I have with the game is just, unclear in terms of signposting. You've got, like, vague quest lines, like, go find this, and then it's just a whole bunch of, like, it's very much you exploring.
It's a very old style Metroidvania.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't particularly care for the old style Metroidvanias that don't really hold your hand. They give you like a vague one descript line and then just like, go find this. And then you're like, oh, a book. I might go to the library. And then it might not be in the library. And then you're just scratching your head like a, yeah. There are elements of the game that I really do enjoy, like the fact that you can kill an enemy, get some ink to upgrade your character. So you've got anchor points, which are like fast travel that allow you to travel between different areas of Limbo and back to the foyer, or the other Limbo. Every time you return back to them, it allows you to refill your items and to refill your ink. Sorry, not to refill your ink, to save your ink. And then you can go back and upgrade it at a Tattooist, which does all the upgrades on the arms that we've seen in the trailers. In terms of that kind of gameplay, it's amazing. Like, I really like the ink element. I can't think of any other game that does it. And it just feels like a really unique twist on the genre. There's lots of collectibles, but like the collectibles only upgrade your normal everyday. Can't remember what the other point system is, but you use it for other upgrades outside of your tentacle ones. But then you don't have to worry about achievement for that. It's there's notes that you do have to collect, which is one particular quest line that relates to the story. That's for an achievement. But I feel like by the end of the game, it's like one of those games that has the point of no return kind of message. So you're very clear on what you need to do by the end of it. By the point of no return, you should only have, I think, 3 achievements left, which is kill the final boss, complete the game, and then complete the game without skipping any cutscenes.
Right.
The one thing I want to say about the cutscenes achievement too is, do not stress. There are cutscenes earlier in the game relating to the people's limbos. There will be a skip button on the bottom, and there will be a B for back. Be very wary of like when there's skip on the bottom or when there's back on it, because I was very uncomfortable pressing B, thinking that I potentially would be skipping it, but it's fine.
Gotcha.
Just as long as it's not over skip, you're fine. The worst thing about the game, though, like 3/5, 4/5 of the time, when I went back to the foyer, I posted a link to my Twitter video of it. They pop in one item at a time for a good like 10 seconds there, and it just absolutely kills the immersion.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot about like technically it's quite a rough game in terms of like pop-in performance, and then also like soft locking as well. A lot of people are getting stuck in places and all that kind of stuff.
Like I thought I was soft locked, but it was just very unclear what I was meant to be doing.
Sure.
And then it's just that ink upgrades isn't that as well. Like certain upgrades work in certain ways because of Metroidvania, but then you think you're soft locking yourself, but it's just really unclear what you need to do.
Right.
There is a Steam guide that has a very basic overview of like what you should be doing in the game. Use that, because I would say like to the final quarter of the game, I found that and it's much better. 100%, this is a game that like in 6 months time, when they figure out the performance issues and all that, they hopefully include some kind of, I don't want to say tutorial, but they signpost things a little bit better, or they have like a hint system like, all right, go find Marie's book in her office. Like, oh, okay, this area. Kind of like that stuff is immensely gonna improve the quality of life of this game. It has enough there that if they had got this right the first time, I would have said hands down, game of the year.
Wow, okay. I mean, I'm definitely gonna play it.
Like maybe not game of the year, but like, you know, top 3. It's very high up there. But it's the fact of the ruin immersion by the foyer, the soft locking and that. Like, if this was very like giving you an idea of what you're meant to be doing the whole way of the game, I'd be like, yeah, because it's giving players different accessibility levels to work on, has some really neat ideas. When the immersion is there, it's fucking brilliant, in my opinion. Like, The story, I like the story, but I can understand if the story's not everybody's cup of tea. Because it's one of those stories that very much like doesn't leave them a cliffhanger, but it's like, oh, cool, that's the ending kind of thing.
Right. I
Like
mean,
it just
it's a Cthulhu
yeah.
story, so a lot of that
Yeah.
kind of stuff, that's, yeah, that's par for the course.
100%. This is going to be one of those games that they'll fix. Everybody will valak it when it leaves Game Pass, and they'll go, "What an amazing game!"
Yep, sounds about right.
But yeah,
It looks like it, yeah.
that's my week.
All right. I'll just quickly go through what I've been doing. So, I was away last week, so I've got 2 weeks worth of stuff here. So I did Ravenlock, like Cameron said. I did finish up Ni No Kuni, did the last sort of big grind for that, did the secret boss and all that kind of collectible stuff. Man, I like a lot of things about that game, but having to grind out, it has that classic having to grind out materials for an alchemy system thing at the end where it's like, hey,
Oof.
it's like, hey, we have like 130 items and you need to make 120 of them. And so you pick like the 10 that are like way too bullshitty to do and you try and work your way backwards to all the other ones. It wasn't too bad, right? But it was just like, just kind of like, it's like an 80-hour game, 80 to 100
Least it
hour game
looks
that really
pretty.
sh could, you could have easily taken like I finished the story in like 50 to 60 hours and that would have been good. You know, like I would have been happy with that. Cause I spent like 10 hours doing like end game content. Cause they give you a lot of end game content in terms of like extra enemies to fight. You need to refight all the bosses again, but they're harder. And then there's like a secret final boss. And then there's a few extra like quests and that sort of stuff that you need to like do like farm really rare materials for. I really enjoyed it though. Like it was like overall really, really good quality game. I mean, even like the familiar system is essentially just like an enhanced version of Pokemon. But every creature has like a first evolution, a second evolution, and then you do like a 3A or 3B version of them, and they have like completely different like stats and they have different abilities. So you can make there's like a dragon you can make like an ice dragon or a fire dragon and all that kind of stuff. I like the game a lot. It is a little bit overwhelming, I think, is the only other thing, is that like there isn't really a lot of indication as like what's good or what are the good familiars versus not the great ones, because you have to invest a fair amount of time to level them up, and there's quite a few systems in place. But if you look online, you can find some like good like team composition recommendations that'll help you a lot. I've got
That's
the
the nice thing about
second.
those older games is so many solutions and so many guides and so many like, hey, here's the best things. Do this, do that.
Yeah, exactly. Like the fact that obviously it's a port of the PlayStation 3 version means that there's heaps of people who have talked about it and kind of worked it out, which is great.
Yep.
I've got the second one installed as well. I'm going to be starting on that relatively shortly, I think. I also played a little bit of Soul Hackers 2. So that's the book club, the Achievement Hunters Anonymous book club game for this and next month. So I started that a little bit. I didn't like I knew it's made by Atlus, the same people who do Persona. And it's technically part of the Shin Megami Tensei like Devil Summoner universe. I didn't realize how much it was though, because I started the game up. And it was like, oh, hey, those enemies are literally just the enemy, those typical like enemies from those Persona games. It's like I fought a was it a fairy, like a level one fairy, and like a Kodoma and a few other bits and pieces. I'm like, wow, okay, this is like Persona, but with like technology and like ghosts and shit. I've only put like 30 minutes into it so far, just to kind of get a feel for it. But I'll be playing it more over the next few weeks. The two things that have been taking up most of my time is I started Nier Replicant. So for those who don't know, Nier Automata is actually a sequel to the original Nier game, which came out on the 360 and PS3 back in the day. And they did a bit of a weird thing where I think it was the 360 version, you play the dad of this girl, and in the and he's kind of yeah, and then the PlayStation versions you played the brother. So it was Nier Gestalt and Nier Replicant were the two games. They were very, very similar. Like again, it was like think like Pokemon Red and Blue kind of thing. Like very,
Just
very similar.
platinum? Just still
Platinum, yeah,
platinum?
Platinum
Okay.
originally, yes. So it's a port. So this one's not done by Platinum, but again, it's
Okay,
the
yeah.
same thing, right? But what they've done is they ported the PlayStation version of it. So it's some of it is new to me in terms of like its new voice acting. They've done redone the lines. They've completely redone the combat from the original game. So now it plays like Nier Automata does with the like quite frenetic fast action. This game's great. Version 2.2222. Yeah, with a bunch of numbers at the end of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I played the original Nier on the 360 back in the day, and like I just saw it on the shelf and I picked it up and it looked weird and interesting.
Mm.
I mean, I'm blown away by how much I really enjoy this. I mean, it is a simple game. There's not a huge amount of complexity to it. But it is essentially like character action game meets Zelda in a lot of ways. It's like Zelda if Zelda was a JRPG, or an action RPG. Because like it's a relatively small world that you revisit a lot of places for. You have your like Hyrule field where you ride a boar across it and it's relatively empty, but it's kind of like an area where you go revisiting these areas. There's like a cliff village that you go to. There's a haunted forest. There's like a bunker with robots in it. And then there's like a seaside town and a desert town. Like it's so Zelda-esque. And it's like, hey, you need to go around to all these places and collect all of these things, collect all these magical objects to try and solve this, to try and cure your sister, apparently. And you get to this point, you do this thing, it does the Zelda thing where it's like, hey, time skip. Let's do a time skip. There's another whole half of the game to do. And I won't spoil anything more about it if you haven't played any of those games. But again, like it does the thing where it is so Zelda-esque in terms of like doing that. And then it's like, okay, you need to collect a bunch of MacGuffins to open the castle to the final boss and all that kind of stuff. It's fantastic. It's well voice acted. The combat is good. It has a lot of good accessibility options in terms of like difficulty. There's like in the same way that Nier Automata has like an auto combat system if you put it on easy. Same thing here. I just want to read it. Like the voice acting is top notch for all the characters, and they got back a lot of the original voice actors to redo some of the lines and some of the more pivotal scenes. Looks pretty good. I mean, it is a remaster or a remake of, or yeah, it's more of a remaster than a remake because they are using the same sort of code from the original. But like, I absolutely loved it. And it does have that Nier Automata thing of, well, I'd say Nier Automata has this thing because it's did it first, but it has that thing of you play through the story once, you get your story A completion, and then it's like, okay, go through the story, go through the second half of the story. They start you from after the time skip. Go through the second half of the story again, but this time we're going to add extra stuff for one of the characters. And like when you go into a dungeon, you'll actually care about some, like you'll get some extra scenes. Again, the same way that Nier Automata like explained its boss fights or explained the characters that you were fighting. Mm-hmm. So that the first time you were going through it, you were just murdering them. And the second time you're going through it, you were murdering them again, but with tears in your eyes because you felt awful for killing them. And it has like, again, it has a lot of that. It's taken me back a lot to those games.
So I'm going to look at the achievement list now. 47 achievements, 32 missables.
Yeah, well, yes, because essentially, like,
the missables.
So part of that is spoiler territory, but okay. But because of the time skip, there are things that you need to do in the first part of the game before that happens. And like, again, there are a lot of missables. However, you will need to play through the game a few times. The walkthrough on TA has been really, really good. But it is the kind of thing that I would probably advise using a walkthrough for. It again does. I know that at the end of the game, because the achievement list is basically the same as the 360 version, it does run into that same issue of, cool, you've done a bunch of this stuff. Now here's like 33 weapons in the game. We need you to upgrade 30 of them to the max level. So grind a shitload of materials.
Yeah.
And the materials are, of course, are all random drops. So that's not great. And I know, like, I remember that from the 360 days, and that hasn't changed. Excuse me. But I would highly recommend it. Like, it is a really, really good game. If you, and like, it's a game you mostly play for the story. It has a really like compelling narrative, and I mean, it is a prequel to Nier Automata.
Yeah.
If you play through Nier Automata and you're kind of wondering why some of the things are happening, this is a lot of the explanation for that.
It definitely sounds like an interesting game. I'm trying to wrap my head around missables in a game that's does the endings like that, if that makes sense.
So
it's like ending A, and then it's like, have I missed that because I've done the playthrough for ending A, essentially?
Yeah, right. I get what you're saying. No, so basically, you need to make sure you do everything before ending D, is okay. What I'll say. Mm-hmm.
So essentially point no return.
Yes, like so ending D is very much in the same. If you played Nier Automata, you probably know what I'm talking about. It has the exact same thing where when you get to ending D in Nier Automata, that is the very final ending, where you have to make a hard decision. But yeah, so again, like the missable stuff is like there are a lot of quests to do, there are a lot of collectibles to get in terms of like a lot of weapons, but most of the areas, like, it's missable in that when you get to the point of no return, there is a very big point of no return.
Yeah, there is.
So yeah, that's, but yeah, again, I'm having a great time, like, re-exploring, like, this is something I haven't played for, you know, nearly a decade, potentially more than that actually. So I would highly recommend it. It's been something I was waiting for it to come to Game Pass, but I realized it's a Square Enix published game, so it's probably never coming to Game Pass at this point. just because Square Enix doesn't,
get Nier Automata.
Yeah, well, they apparently had a good relationship originally, right? Because, you know, you got you had what, like Dragon Quest, and you had
all 15, the Final, I believe.
Yeah, all the Final Fantasies were on there, right? Yeah. Like 10 and 12 and 15. So yeah, I guess the relationship has changed.
I'm 100% expecting Square Enix to be okay. It doesn't even need to happen, but like
to be purchased by Sony, it would make a lot of sense. Yeah,
I think they're at the point too that they don't have to purchase them.
They have all the exclusivity they need from them. Yeah, exactly.
Did it come out in like the filings that Sony's paying Square Enix to keep their games off of Game Pass?
Yep. Yep, so that's why we're not getting Final Fantasy VII Remake, either of them, and we're not getting Final Fantasy 16 or any of the remakes of the pixel art ones that they've been doing. So
yeah, Final Fantasy VII Remake 16 was there, but I'm wondering how far actually it stretches out.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Could they just port Legend of Mana from Switch, please? Oh, please. My God, that'd be I want that game so badly.
I love the Mana series. But anyway, like if it was on sale, so I picked it up. I've been waiting on this one for a while. I got impatient and just wanted to get into it. So I've been doing that. The other thing that was on sale that I would be a hypocrite if I didn't pick up was AI Somnium Files, the Nirvana Initiative, which is the sequel to one of Spike Chunsoft's most ridiculous games ever created. I mean, if you go back and listen to me talk about AI, it's very much the same kind of game. It's a sequel. This one, I am maybe about 2/3 of the way through. Structurally, is there are a lot of similarities. Again, it is a sequel in the truest sense, in that it is after the first game. They actually ask you at the very beginning of the game if you've played the first one. So they want to know if they can spoil like some of the plot reveals from the first game, which I really appreciate. It did mean I had to go reread what happened at the end of the first game, because one of the problems with that game is that it has so many timelines and branching paths that I couldn't remember what the actual, what actually happened in the like true path. So I was like, okay, did that person die? Or was that, no, that was the other timeline. We saved them in this one, but so this game is a lot simpler. And again, I'm not all the way through it, but as far as I could tell, there are four paths. So the game starts with, you discovering, you playing as Mizuki, who was one of the main characters in the first game, who is now, it's 6 years later, and so now she's 18. She works for the same agency that Date worked for. And that you come across a grisly murder of someone who has been bisected, like cut in half molecularly. And so you have half of their body just sitting in a stadium. I think it's the right half of their body that she finds in a stadium. And it turns out vertically. And so the body is there, but it apparently harkens back to a case 6 years previous, which happened just after the first game, where the other half of the bodies were showing up. And so they only ever found a bunch of victims who they had the left half of the bodies that they were found. And then now these right halves are showing up 6 years later. But the thing is that there are no visible wounds outside of the slice, and the time of death for both sides of the body are about within 2 hours of when you find them. So the first half of the body died 6 years ago, and this one died like an hour or two ago, and there is no explanation. And so,
can I just, before you move on, can I just ask? So did they set up the the plot for the second one in the first one?
Not really.
Well, okay. Because how it sounds like you're explaining it is just like, all right, cool. This was like a side quest, and then we just made an entirely new story out of that.
Basically, what they did is they took a lot of the side, they took one of the side characters from the game and then made them a main character for this game with it. And so they intentionally call out in the game that the Cyclops killer, which was the case he was solving in the first game, has no actual real relation to this case in terms of like the case itself. However, you do see a lot of the returning characters, like their returning motivation. And the reason they ask you for the spoiler stuff is because there are things that that are somewhat important to the plot that they kind of reveal. I'm very curious to see how they don't show those things. But it is a lot of the same stuff. So the way it works essentially is that you play as half of the game, you play as Mizuki. So Mizuki basically pulls in the agent who was investigating the case 6 years ago when the first halves of the bodies show up. And he is kind of lost his mind. He's like gone nuts in terms of like the case went so badly that he essentially like just went into like psychosis. And so you spend half of the game playing as him trying to solve the first half of the case. And then you learn, there's some stuff that you learn that allow you to go back to Mizuki and play her half of the case in the present time, I guess, or depending on however you want to do it. And there's a little bit of branching narratives, but it's essentially, as far as I can tell, the past section has two branches, one branch to learn something and one branch that's the actual true branch. And then I think there's going to be a similar one on this one, but there might be some more branches towards the end as it gets more complex. Yeah. Same style of humor, same, again, it's a lot of the similar characters. I mean, if you've played the first game, the first game ends with something that is so fucking ridiculous and out of character and just weird. I won't spoil it because it's such a delight. That happens right at the end, like the very end, the end scene of the game, right before credits. They reference that immediately. That happens straight, straight away. They're just like,
good.
The first time you see Iba, who is the AI that you work with, like she's she's basically like doing the routine. Like she knows it. and like it, I remember talking about this game originally about having tonal whiplash. This game like cranks that up to 11. Where, you know, like this game goes from like, hey, I came from an abused household and like my dad died and like, and my mother left him because he was, because he was sick of him. And, you know, like my only friends are robots, or I was like, I was born disfigured and people have like abused me all my life, to like you go into people's minds, right, and try to figure out their dreams. Like I was on like, it was like an Iron Chef thing. Whereas like you had to beat the dream version of him in like an Iron Chef competition, but the AI is like, oh hey, I don't know how to cook. I'm an AI, and it's like well, we got one of these in-game things that allow you to condense your time down into a certain amount. So every time you do something in the dream world, you get like it costs you a certain amount of time, and you only have 6 minutes. But you can get these things called timies that allow you to like modify them. It's a bit of a puzzle. So where it's like, oh, this thing's going to take me like 3 minutes, which I don't have, but I did something else that gave me a thing that changes that to be like 10 seconds or halves it or thirds it or whatever. And it was why that makes it 1 second. And the time was like several million seconds that it was going to take to learn how to be a chef within like the span of like 6 months. And it's like, well, we're just going to put this one time, 1 second thing on. So only 1 second is going to pass in the real world. And I'm going to sit here and I'm going to teach you to be, I'm going to Gordon Ramsay the shit out of you until you're a proper chef. Like I did that. I did this right before the show. For what reason? Oh yeah. The guy's a chef. That's it. That's literally it. There was like this, like the, yeah. Anyway.
Wow.
It's all over the place because there are murders and horrible shit going on and terribly sad stories with some of the wackiest shit. The reception, if you played the first game, the receptionist joke from the first game is in there again. They just did exactly the same joke where you just keep talking to her and it just keeps going and it keeps like there's a bit where there's an inspector, his name is Kagami. The main character in the first game never remembers his name, and it's one of the prompts where you can talk to him is, hey, what was your name again? And he just slowly loses his mind. And when you're playing the other two characters in this game, you can just do the same gag over and over again. But now they lean into it because now it goes back from like being funny, not funny at all, to being the funniest shit you've ever heard of in your entire life. It's yeah, it's I'm enjoying it a lot. It is not as good as the first game because again, it is like it's doing the same trick. Like it's a, you know, that game kind of had a tone and like a real interesting thing to it. I'm not enjoying like the split characters as much, and I don't think the story is quite as compelling as the first game was. But it is like more straightforward and condensed and like less kind of all over the place. Also not in Game Pass, which is kind of sucks. But if you played the first one, I would definitely recommend this one. I'm going to try and finish it for next week. But anyway, I've talked about it way too much. It is one of those kind of, it's a narrative game. So I don't want to spoil too much about it. There is not much in terms of gameplay. There's a few quick time events. There's a few puzzles, but most of it is talking to people and watching the sort of story unfold while you try to solve this mystery.
Yeah, it's a visual novel Japanese anime game.
100%.
Yeah.
100% with actual like decent voice acting and references galore. So many references.
It made me curious to see if there's actually an Iron Chef game now. There is.
Is there that amazing?
There's really bad one on the Nintendo sure. Wii.
Of course.
Yeah, not even surprised. Of course it is.
But anyway, that's me. I'm going to be working on AI, and then I've got Biomutant, I've got Ni No Kuni 2, I need to do Star Wars Fallen Order at some stage. Sorry, Star Wars Survivor at some stage. I'm just, oh my god, there's so many games, and then I got to do Benedict Fox at some stage as well. So we will get there. All right.
You got all year. Nothing else coming.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Oh, Cameron, so you want to talk about new releases?
I was gonna start putting some new releases for the week, just to kind of date us. So May 15th, Trackmania comes out, which there is an achievement list yet, but I'm sure it's going to be awful. We're playing an online multiplayer environment, solely against ghost players. You can improve steadily thanks to innovative gameplay features, regionalized rankings, and medals to collect, so you can race your way to the top. May 16th, this one I'm really looking forward to, Age of Empires 2 Return of Rome DLC, which is essentially the Rise of Rome from Age of Empires 1, all implemented into Age of Empires 2. We'll have three new fully voiced campaigns from Sargon of Arcad, Horus of Epirus, and Tarjan. Challenge for 16 ancient civilizations and one new Rome exclusive, La Verte. As an additional bonus, the Romans will no longer be bound by time as they become a playable civilization within Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition, ready to battle in the New Age. Tin Hearts from Wired Productions, published by Wired Productions, is basically a group of tin soldiers in a magical story, magical toy-filled world with a narrative puzzle element with platformer, and brought from some of the team members that brought you Fable. And then the other one I'm really excited for, May 19th, LEGO 2K Drive, which is essentially, it essentially looks like Forza Horizon 4 on steroids mixed with like an actual LEGO building kind of game.
It looks really fun.
I'm the only thing I'm scared about this is the amount of DLC it's probably going to get. Like, oh, they're going to treat this as a live service.
So much.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like from what I've seen, if this plays as well as like a Forza game, like, I don't expect it to look spectacular or anything. Like, from the trailers and that, it does look quite good. I'm excited, especially being able to swap on different terrain, like, straight off the fly.
Mm.
That seems, like, really cool. Take an exciting new story mode, jump into a single race or cup series tournaments, and let loose in the in off-the-wall minigames, master the art of drifting, boosting, and using power-ups to claim victory. Other thing I'm really excited about, this every review I've seen says it is the most like the best like portable digital Lego builder.
Oh, okay.
Like in terms of like actually building stuff and testing stuff out, it's the best game that the series that have actually done.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
So yeah, so there's some games coming out this week.
All right, leaderboards. So in third place, we have Valaxy with 7,735. We have Thrash Forever with 16,060. But in runaway first place, we have Mephisto for the win with 45,442. The crazy bastard.
Is he, you're still ahead of him?
Yes.
I am still ahead of him, but not by a huge amount.
Yeah.
He's playing catch up with leaps and bounds. So I do not think it'll be long before he's ahead of me, actually. I mean, having said that, though, I've dropped many places since back in the day. But He's about 60,000 away from me. Almost exactly 60,000.
Yeah, just another week and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I've ever even landed up on it. So
this is the thing, yeah. Xbox just needs to get JRPGs, and then that's taken off the leaderboard.
It's 100% true. It's taken up all my time.
Mephisto, what you need to do is you just need to find three really long JRPGs, buy them, send them to New Zealand,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. Matt's completely out of the competition for the next month or two.
Pretty much. We should get Mephisto back on, actually. It's been ages since we've had a chat with him. For completions, only a few of them this week. We have Baron von Neumann with Blaze Blue. Rapture finished up Umurangi. David Milo finished up Star Wars Episode One Racer and Color Pals. Chin Doctor finished up Dig Deep, which apparently he did not have a good time with. And Perkus finished up all the Walking Dead Telltale games.
And that four games in one for 1K, that's four.
Oh, yeah. Five games, technically.
Five games.
Can't wait to play that.
Yeah, I did that recently. It was fine. The later games play themselves more than the first ones do.
And Lefty also did Yumaragi and Hello Neighbor 2. But he didn't post it in the Hall of Games Discord now, did he?
No, he didn't, so I didn't read him out.
So, yeah.
And now we've also got the Word Challenge, everyone's favorite competition.
Asterix.
Wow. where basically I come up with the game. You go to our Discord, discord.io/hallofgamers. You can find a channel in there that says Word Challenge, and you guess the name of the game. If you get it right, a gift pops up and you win $20 New Zealand. Just to clarify from last week, $20 New Zealand, because I ain't fucking made of money. But every week I give a clue. You can go in and guess what it is. You get one guess per hour. So good luck to you. So the first clue from last week, or the week before, well, no, last week, was that it was classified as an adventure game. And a couple of guesses, but nothing, you know, people need to start thinking about that. I mean, there are a lot of them. But this clue might help you a little bit. Over half of the achievements in the game are missable. So that might narrow it down.
It's a bad adventure game.
Yeah, so that might narrow it down a little bit. Good luck to you. We'll have another clue next week. Maybe. We'll see how many guesses we get in. We'll see how generous I'm feeling. But get in there. Start guessing. And like I said, as always, you can join us on Discord, discord.io/hallofgamers is where we have our questions channel for questions that we answer on the show. We have a podcast channel for any developments. We'll let you know who's going to be on the show and that kind of stuff. A regular chatting channel for all kinds of shit. We've got a memes channel. We've got a series channel. We have all kinds of stuff. So come hang out with our community. Boost some games with us, hang out, talk about the podcast. We greatly appreciate all of our fans and supporters. And as always, we do the show live on Twitch. Xbox Hall of Gamers is a place to be. You can come hang out with Lefty and ourselves. And I think Odrin was here for a bit and Robbie. Come say hi. Ask us some questions, shitpost. Just start bothering us while we're trying to record a podcast. Whatever you want to do, it's fine.
PC Gamer classifies The Witness as an adventure game.
I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, you can guess The Witness. I will say it is not. It's never been The Witness. But you could guess The Witness. Longtime fans will know that I usually set up a separate GIF for people who guess The Witness in the channel, which I have almost as much fun as I do picking the actual game itself. Speaking of supporters, our Patreon, patreon.com/hallofgamers, if you want to help support the show, just want to give a huge shout out to Lee Howard, Mikhail KV, Chapters, Natolinator, Firehawk, Mad Lefty, G-Spaceman, Admiral Awesome, Keo, Happy Moogles, Kung Fu Skills, Hack and Pwn, Cavalier 07, Old Mate Clown, Mark B. McLovin Legend for supporting us. We would not be able to afford to do the show without you guys, so thank you so much. All of the proceeds from that go straight back into the show for doing the competitions, for paying for Zoom and for hosting fees and all that kind of stuff. And occasionally when we save up enough to buy a new piece of equipment here and there for the quality of the show. So thank you all so much. I think it's pretty much going to bring us to the end of the show. If you want to contact us in other ways, hallofgamerspodcast@gmail.com or @hallofgamerspod on Twitter. Otherwise, leave us a review on your platform of choice. Word of mouth is huge for us. Tell your friends. Get in your boosting parties. Great way to kill some time to listen to us yak about bullshit. And if you'd like to guest on the show, let us know. We're always open to have guests from the community and from outside of it. You know, we always want to get different perspectives for video gaming out there to the world. Now,
when are we getting Phil Spencer on?
I'm working on it.
Episode 100.
He keeps ducking my emails.
We're like 22 episodes.
Make sure it's a bad week for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right. Exactly. But lots to talk about. Yeah. So Starfield got a 4 out of 10. How do you feel about that?
Starfield won't get a 4 out of 10. We'll get like an 8 or a 9, and it'll be buggy at launch.
Pretty, yeah. But now, fucking Nostradamus.
So Bethesda game, yeah.
All right, Shane. Give us the details. Where can people find you? What do you want to promote?
FirehawkD_Xbox on Twitch, FirehawkD no spaces on Twitter, and FirehawkD on Xbox. That's usually where I'm at.
Fantastic. Cameron, what about you?
ShadowSedge or ShadowSedge_ on pretty much anything. Yeah.
Sweet. And I'm NeoMaster on pretty much everything, True Achievements, Xbox, and Discord. Thank you all for listening. This has been episode 78. We will catch you guys next week. See you later.